Yo, what's going on, everybody? This is Beats by Danny, back with episode 13 of the Beatmaker Startup Podcast. Shout out to the whole global crew, man. Thanks a lot for all the support. I consistently see the same amount of people tuning into my podcast. So although it's not growing, I know that I'm reaching an audience, and I really want to say thank you to everyone tuning in. I really appreciate it. And let's keep it going. Like, make sure to comment and email me or tag me on Instagram. Let me know what you guys are thinking, what you guys want to know more of, and I'm happy to help. But overall, I'm really pleased with kind of this experience of starting this podcast, especially during this time when, you know, there's a lockdown and this whole COVID thing has been taking over the world. It really does help to have like an outlet like this where I can talk to you guys and also hear back from you guys. So before we get into today's episode, I want to share a quick story of like what's going on. I usually just jump right into sharing my insights and tips on things, but today I want to start a little bit differently in that I want to talk about something that's been happening to me. So a couple of weeks ago, maybe even like months ago, maybe 2 months ago, I was installing a plugin on my computer and I, you know, wasn't paying attention to what I was doing, and I ended up deleting a whole drive off my computer. Now, I have two drives on my computer. One is the main drive where I have all my plugins, and the second drive is a backup drive. So I was running out of space on my main drive, and I decided, okay, let me just install on my backup drive. Big mistake. So somehow I chose the wrong folder route for the plugin to install in, and the actual installation crashed. And not only did it crash, but it wiped my whole hard drive while doing it. So I think somehow something got crisscrossed, and essentially I lost 240 beats. So all the beats I was doing for the 365 day challenge ended up not, you know, going away. Like, all I have is my Instagram videos that showcase them. And it was really depressing. I learned from that experience. I learned that I have to be a lot more careful how I install things. I have to be a lot more careful how I back things up. But then the most important thing I learned was that it doesn't matter. Like, none of it mattered. I'm going to keep creating music, and I'm going to keep creating sounds and samples, and there's no limit to the music. So although I was really upset that I lost all those beats, I was like, man, I'm just going to keep making more, so it doesn't even matter. And they're going to be better. The beats I'm going to be making now are better, with better sound selection. You know, although I was a little bit upset that I had let myself do this, I was also kind of just appreciative of the fact that, like, I was almost free from those beats. Like, I don't have to go back to them. I don't have to focus on them. And to be honest, I didn't really open them much along the way. So I'm always creating new things, creating new opportunities to create music. The one downside, the biggest downside, honestly, which is huge, is I have been working with a couple of artists over the last couple of months. And unfortunately, the songs I was working, the custom beats I had made for these artists were on that drive. Now, what has that caused to happen? Essentially, I have to recreate these beats that I created for these artists because, unfortunately, they hadn't downloaded the stems that I had sent through WeTransfer files, and, you know, WeTransfer deletes after 7 days. And for some of them, I didn't even get a chance to send them the stems. So I'm in this position now where I have to recreate beats that I've already created. And it's been such a kind of rewarding experience, to be honest. At first, I was like dreading it. I was like, man, I'm never going to get the same sound. You know, they're going to be so upset when they hear this new vibe and it doesn't match the old vibe. But what I realized is that I'm getting a lot better at, you know, playing by ear and remembering my melodies. And I'm noticing the errors in my melodies when I go back and recreate them. So as I'm starting to figure out my beats again in order to make them over for the artist, I'm realizing like, oh, why did I press that specific note? I could have done something like this instead. And I changed the melody slightly, but it sounds so much better. And what I'm realizing is, you know, oftentimes we don't go back to the music that we've already created and analyze it. You know, it's really important, I think, now that I realize this, it's really important to go back and say, what made this beat really good? And why did this artist really like this melody? Or what did I do here that I'm not continuing to do in my music? And it was just really interesting recreating this beat, because what I did was I just took piano sounds and made the bass, you know, the guitar part, the synth melody line for the chorus, verse, and the bridge. I remade them using piano only, and I started realizing, like, wow, this just with piano, this sounds like an amazing track. And, you know, I don't have all the sound selection there yet, but it just sounds so good right now. And I know it's going to sound really good once I put all the sounds together without the piano. And I realized, like, you know, moving forward, I think I'm going to start my ideas on piano a lot more, because, you know, so often we get so caught up in trying to hear a sound or trying to pick a sound. This happened to me the other day. I spent, like, it's not a crazy amount of time, but I spent 5 minutes tweaking one sound on a beat. And next thing you know, my beat came out pretty whack. Like, you know, I'll be the first to admit it. And, you know, I think it's because I focused so much on getting that sound to sound exactly like how I had it in my mind. When, you know, when you have that vision, you're never going to lose that vision of what it sounds like, right? What's more important, I think, what I'm realizing is what most important when creating music is getting your idea out as fast as possible so that you don't lose the inspiration. And I've come to realize that going back and recreating these beats, that I could just be making beats with a piano sound and making the melodies that I want to make and the harmonies. And then I can go and select sounds that, you know, fit that mood or that style. And it'll make for the beat to sound better, because if it sounds good on piano alone, it's going to sound amazing when you have like arpeggiators or whatever else filling in the space. And, you know, just a couple of lessons that I've learned over the last couple of weeks, you know, that I want to share with everyone here is that, you know, sometimes you got to go back and really analyze what you're doing and think about what you're doing and see if there's any room for improvement, any way that you can make things better. You know, don't be afraid to go back and rework some things and see what you can do better. You probably know how to use better drum patterns or better drum sounds, or you know more about layering, and you can make something that didn't sound so good sound that much better. So definitely check that out. You know, take the time to go back and revisit some of your beats and see if you can clean them up and make them sound better. It's a really good challenge, and I've been having a lot of fun doing it. All right, so let's get into this episode. This episode, I want to talk a little bit about design and artwork. And, you know, for producers, there's visualizers, you know, where you post a picture or a cover art for your beat and you have the beat playing in the background. For example, if you have a YouTube type beat video. For artists, you know, you might have something that, you know, will exemplify or you know, really push your art forward with a cover. You know, how do you go about designing these things? How do you go about thinking about, you know, what ideas you need to do? How do you collaborate to get these things done? I think, you know, visuals are obviously really important, especially nowadays as an artist. Your visuals have to be really on point, really clean. I don't want to say clean. I don't want to, you know, typecast it into being clean, but I just want to say it has to be well thought out. You know, you can have a really grungy look and that could be part of your aesthetic, you know, and that could be part of what makes you you. But I think overall, I think what I'm realizing is that a lot of people don't know how to either one, create these things on their own, or two, find those resources that can help them to achieve the look and feel that they want. So I'll give you guys an example. My type beat videos on YouTube, I just started a type beat channel maybe 2 months ago. They're Latin beats, but you know, I basically wanted a cohesive look across my videos. And so I started thinking about what, you know, makes me outside of the music, you know, what types of movies I like, what, you know, genres I like listening to. And I, you know, one of my favorite movies of all time is Back to the Future. One of my favorite trilogies of all time is Back to the Future. And I realized like that movie is a big part of who I am, you know, the forward thinking, the futuristic, and, you know, the technology driven, the music driven. And, you know, I really identify with Marty McFly as a character and as a person. You know, he's got the music going. He's got, you know, this crazy scientist that's his best friend, and they're always getting into constant trouble together, and then trying to figure out how to get out of it. And he's got a really rebellious, like, you know, way of thinking. And I really identify with this character. And I thought to myself, you know, let me go back and see if I can recreate something that looks like the Back to the Future cover. And so I started falling down this rabbit hole on YouTube, looking for how to do Back to the Future design in Photoshop. Then I realized like I had to search a little bit differently, and I found like retro text in Photoshop. And so, you know, I just I downloaded Photoshop. You know, it's like $9 a month or something like that to continue to use it. And essentially, I just followed this tutorial online. And there's plenty of resources on YouTube showing you how to create the things that you want to create. You just have to go, you just have to know how to search for the things that you want. And so I created this retro style text based on that tutorial. And it really has a really cool look. It's got kind of like this Miami vibe look, but it's also futuristic. And I just coupled that with the image of an artist that my type beat represents. And it's been performing pretty well. You know, it has really great click through on YouTube. And I'm just happy that I stumbled upon something that I actually believe in, you know, artistically, but also, you know, has a cohesive look. So when people go to my page, they see nothing but the same type of branding for each video. Basically, what I want to make note of is that, you know, I could have gone out and tried to get a designer to actually implement that style for me, or I could have, you know, paid on Fiverr.com to have someone actually, you know, design that logo for me. But then I'd have to continually do that in order and continually pay for that service in order to, you know, upload all my type beats. So I decided to take matters into my own hands, and I learned how to use Photoshop the way I needed to in order to create my own style. So that goes to say, and that goes to show that you don't have to be a super professional at, you know, designing to design your own covers. You just have to have a really good idea and then be able to follow someone else's steps. You know, these tutorials are really well laid out. He told me exactly what colors to pick and, you know, how to actually change the settings in Photoshop to make it look a certain way. And he actually went way more in depth and create a more realistic look than what I personally use. But I was like, okay, here's my limit. You know, it gets the job done. It looks like how I want it to look, you know, mostly. And I'm not going to do the extra embellishment that he does towards the end. I'm just going to leave it here. And this is going to be part of my look. And so, yeah, like definitely look for things where people do a really good job of explaining. And yeah, you just have to understand and know what you're looking for in order to get what you need. So that's one way of going about design is understanding what you want and then finding tutorials online that'll help you get there. And all you have to do is download Photoshop or some other program to make it all happen. The key thing though is, right, the idea. You have to have the idea. And if you don't have the idea, that's when you can actually go to a designer, and that's when you want to pay for a designer. You know, a designer is a creative thinker, they're a problem solver. And if you come to them with a problem, their job is to help you solve that problem. So what is a designer going to do, right? A designer is going to look at your brand. They're going to ask you questions around what you want to portray, who you are. You know, they're going to ask you what your favorite colors are, what your motives are, what your favorite type of music is, any other logos that you actually like. And they're going to actually take all that information and create something for you based on that. That's one really good way of having a professional actually come and tell you, like, this is what you should be doing. The reason that's really important is because a lot of people, like I mentioned before, aren't professional designers and they don't want to spend their time on things that they don't think they're good at. You know, you have to learn how to invest your time. And if you feel like your time's not being well suited while you're creating this logo, then you might as well go and have someone, a professional, do it. So where do you find these people? Honestly, you can search on Instagram, you can search on TikTok, you can search on YouTube for people that are just doing custom logos, custom designs. There's also services like freelance services where you can hire a designer to create a custom logo. Those services, you can pay anywhere between $5 and, you know, $500 to $1,000 for the design. It all depends on what quality you're looking for. My main suggestion when actually looking for designers to work with is, if you're trying to save some money, maybe find someone at a similar level as you who's trying to come up, who's trying to get their artwork out there. If they do a logo or design for you, you know, you can promote it and maybe they'll get more business that way. The other way you can think about it is if you want to pay for quality and you go to one of these freelance websites like Fiverr.com, you can actually filter out by how much designs are going to cost. Now, I don't have any affiliation with Fiverr.com, but it has been a service that I have used in the past with mixed results. Sometimes you'll get someone that's really good. Sometimes you'll get someone that's really bad. What I've had really great results with in Fiverr has been motion graphics. You know, motion graphics are a thing that's kind of, not that it's easy, but it's one of those things where just because things are moving and animated, it looks a lot better. And so I think it's a lot easier for those designers to get away with like templatized looks and still give you professional quality with your own custom logo. But, you know, in other cases, I haven't had great experiences on there and I've had to pay for stuff that, you know, I wasn't necessarily happy with or that I didn't end up using. So eventually, you know, you want to make sure that you're paying for the things that you actually believe in and that actually exemplify your brand or your logo. So when you're creating these designs, just keep in mind the key thing is always the idea. And for those producers who are looking to do beat visualizers, you know, there's tutorials on that as well. You have to download different programs. I keep it simple. I just do a thumbnail and I put a beat under it. I don't do any, you know, some videos, you know, they follow the music and anytime the kick hits, you know, you see the something expand or contract. I don't go that far. You know, I think, you know, there is a lot of value in doing that, but I just don't have the time to go that deep. And I just keep it simple and hopefully people are just listening to the music and enjoying it. So, you know, with beat visualizers, you just have to pick a style and then download something like Final Cut or Adobe Premiere and, you know, follow tutorials that show you how to do this. There's plenty of tutorials on YouTube where people are constantly uploading new ways to kind of do what you, you know, anything you want to see is probably on YouTube. So take the time to research and just know that it's a process. You know, if you don't do it, no one else is going to do it. You know, when I needed beat visualizers, I decided I need a concept that I can recreate efficiently and easily. And that's what I've been sticking to. I've been sticking to just figuring out what works for me and the style that works for me. And it's been going really well. And, you know, that Type Beat channel is growing. You know, feel free to DM me if you want to know where to find that channel. It's Latin Beats by Danny on YouTube. And, you know, it's just nothing but reggaeton beats and with the aesthetic that I chose to highlight there. That's pretty much it for this episode of Beatmaker Startup Podcast, episode 13. You know, hopefully you guys are finding ways to create unique identities with your designs and, you know, pushing that out to the world. Just make sure to stay consistent. Don't keep switching up. You know, if you switch up, maybe do it once every like 2 years or something like that, just to expand and grow. But, you know, don't constantly switch. You know, give something people that they can remember and that they keep coming back to and know that every time they see that, it's going to be related to you. So that's it for this episode of Beatmaker Startup Podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in. This is Beats by Danny, Global Crew. Peace.